وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you under his protection. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قيل لكم تفسحوا في المجالس فافسحوا يفسح الله لكم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight is the 27th night of Ramadan, where the 27th Taraweeh was performed, and we read the 29th 8 para. So alhamdulillah, we commencing with Surah Mujadala, and mention is made of certain shari regulations and of the hypocrites. In the beginning of the surah, there is reference to the incident of Hazrat Khawla bint Sa'lab radiallahu ta'ala anha, who came to complain about a husband, Hazrat Aws ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala an, who had made zihar with her. Zihar is to regard one's wife to be haram upon oneself like one's mother. So her complaints were done in such a manner that it seemed as though she was arguing. Thus she is referred to as Mujadila, the woman who argued. So this surah has also been named as Mujadila, keeping in view this incident. So during the days of ignorance, zihar fell under the same law of divorce. Due to it, the wife would become forbidden for her husband forever. The Quran Kareem laid down a limit for this action, which would come to an end by kafara. So the other important subject matter found in Surah Mujadila are as follows. Surah mentions the law of whispering. That is, if two or more people begin speaking in each other's ears in front of others, then what is the command? In a Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned that in the case where there are three people, it is against the etiquettes of the gathering for two to converse quietly, since a third person may gain the wrong impression that perhaps these two are conversing about me. However, here prohibition is made of that whispering which was the habit of the Jews. Just to anger the Muslims, they would whisper to each other, and when greeting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would change the form of their face and they would say, Ya Abul Qasim, no, assalamu assam alayka, which means death to you, O Abul Qasim. So in this verse, they are rebuked for their evil actions. Then from among the social etiquettes, one etiquette of a gathering is that when you are asked to make space in the gathering, or if you are commanded to wake up from the gathering, then comply. So this command is not specific for the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is for every respectable gathering which takes place with regard to any branch of deen. Then this surah also mentions those hypocrites who befriended the Jews on one hand and took oaths of their being believers on the other hand. So in spite of the huge claims, Allah Ta'ala regards them Hizbush Shaitan, the party of Shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala then mentions four blessings for those fortunate souls who do not befriend the enemies of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in any way, whether it be their parents, children, brothers or fellow tribesmen. So Allah Ta'ala has established Iman in their hearts. There is unseen assistance for them. They will be entered into Jannah. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with the favors of Allah. Then Surah Hashr also was recited, and Surah Hashr has also got some important points mentioned in it. In the beginning, we are informed that everything in the universe glorifies and praises Allah Ta'ala and testifies to His oneness, power and majesty. Thereafter, this surah discusses some signs and living proofs of Allah Ta'ala's power from amongst them. One was that the Jews who had been living for a long time in Medina Munawwara had constructed strong forts for their protection. All the economic power was in their hands. They had tied the people of Medina in chains of interest-bearing loans. They thought that none could remove them from there. However, due to their evil actions, the punishment of Allah Ta'ala descended on them twice, and they were expelled. So the first expulsion was from Medina Munawwara to Khaybar, and the second expulsion was when Umar radiallahu ta'ala forced them to leave Khaybar and go to Sham. The Jews leaving Medina Munawwara and Khaybar was such an incident that, never mind the Jews, even the Muslims were completely taken by surprise. And to turn the attention of the people of Iman to the greatness of the Book of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala informs us that if the mountains had been given perception and intelligence by Allah Ta'ala, and then He revealed the Quran unto them, they would have shattered into pieces due to the fear of Allah Ta'ala. How lamentable is it that man is unaware of the greatness of this unique book. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. And it does not fulfill its rights. So at the end of the surah, the grandeur and the majesty of Allah Ta'ala is portrayed in His beautiful names. So in the last verse repeats those words which were found at the beginning. So whatever is found in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah Ta'ala. He is the mighty, the wise. And then Surah Mumtahina was also read. And the beginning portion was revealed regarding Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, who attempted to secretly send a message to Makkah Mukarramah to warn the people of Makkah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's coming, so that they would be indebted to him and look after his family. So he had participated in the Battle of Badr, and he was a sincere Sahabi, but he committed the serious error which was disliked by Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thereafter, he regretted his actions and repented with a sincere heart. This repentance was accepted. And in these circumstances, these verses were revealed, in which Allah Ta'ala commanded the people of Iman not to take the disbelievers as friends, those people who are in fact Allah's enemies and the enemies of the Muslims. Those were hard-hearted people who had made life difficult for the believers in Makkah Mukarramah, and eventually forcing them to emigrate. Then, in corroboration with this message, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, who openly distanced himself from his polytheistic nations for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So it is thus compulsory for his followers and adherents that if they love anyone, then it should only be for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And if they turn away from anyone, then too it should be for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So when Allah Ta'ala commanded the Muslims to cut off ties with the disbelievers, they did not delay in fulfilling this command. Fathers broke off relations with their sons, and brothers broke off relations with their brothers. Thus the truthfulness of their claims of Iman became completely clear. However, blood relations in one's homeland are such things that Allah Ta'ala has placed love and inclination for them in one's nature. So the Quran, taking into consideration man's natural feelings, mentions one glad tiding and gives permission in one matter. The glad tiding announces, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will create love between you and your enemies. Allah is all-powerful and Allah is all-forgiving, and it is most merciful. And Allah is most merciful. But Surah Mumtahina also gives guidance regarding those women who, after accepting Iman, had migrated and came to Medina Munawwara. The command given regarding them is that they should be tested. After testing to see if they truly emigrated due to Iman and satisfaction is felt, then they should not be returned to the disbelievers. So this surah has been called Mumtahina due to the imtihan, the test, having been mentioned. The Mufassirin have written that this command was revealed when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's severest enemy, Uqba ibn Mu'id's daughter, Umm Kulthum, migrated to Medina Munawwara. So her father came to Medina Munawwara to take her back, according to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him back empty-handed, saying that the treaty only referred to returning Muslim men and not women. At the end of the surah, emphasis is again placed O people of Iman, do not befriend such people with whom Allah Ta'ala is angry and who have lost hope in the hereafter, just as the disbelievers in the grave have lost hope. Then Surah Saf was also recited, and the subject matter of the surah is jihad and qital, fighting in the path of Allah Ta'ala. After mentioning the praises and purity of Allah Ta'ala, the Muslims have been severely warned to remain firm on their packs and to practically demonstrate what they say with their tongues. Thereafter, in encouraging the Muslims to make jihad, this surah instructs us to stand united and firm like a leaden wall in opposition to the enemies and in protecting the unity of the Muslim Ummah. Then this surah also conveys glad tidings that Islam will overpower all other religions. With regards to proof, from day one, Islam has attained this dominance. That day is not far when Islam will definitely gain dominance over the whole world, inshallah, monetarily, politically, and outwardly. In the following verse, Surah Saf invites the Muslims to such a business deal in which there is no possibility of loss, because the other party in this business deal is Allah Ta'ala, who is such that whoever deals with Allah will never ever incur a loss. The business is to believe in Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to make jihad with one's wealth and life. The expected profits are forgiveness of sins, entering into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala's assistance and dominance over the disbelievers in this world. Then Surah Jumu'ah was also recited, and the axis of the surah upon which the entire surah revolves is the trust that was placed on the shoulders of the Bani Israel. However, they could not fulfill it. Their example is that of a donkey upon which very blessed and intellectual books are placed. Due to its weight, the donkey's back becomes bent. However, it is completely unaware of the knowledge, pearls and secrets found in these books, and thus does not take any benefit from them. So Surah Jumu'ah commences with the praises and purity of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's qualities and the purpose of him being sent are mentioned. There is tilawat of the Quran, tazkiyah, the purification of the nerves, and the teaching of the Quran and hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in that noble Quran that the ayah where he will teach hikmah, that he will teach Quran and the sunnah, it's tazkiyah and purification. Then Surah Munafiqun was also recited, and this is a Madani surah, and in this surah the character of the hypocrites, as well as their lies, their plotting and hatred for the Muslims, and the complete contrast, you know, between the external and internal character has been mentioned. And thereafter we are informed that the hypocrites outwardly are full of attraction. They are strong in physique, there is eloquence on their tongues, they know the way of speaking very well, but inside they are hollow. They are so cowardly that if they hear a loud sound, they become perplexed, thinking that death is about to befall them. In front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims, they do not tire in praising them, but behind their backs, they utter such foul words. May Allah Ta'ala. Then Surah Taghabun was also recited, and in the beginning of the surah, after being informed that everything in the universe glorifies and praises Allah, we learn that man has been divided into two groups: those who are appreciative of the favors of Allah Ta'ala and those who are ungrateful. Thereafter, mention is made of past nations who did not believe in the messenger of Allah Ta'ala, the result being that they were forced to taste the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. And then the surah also mentions the deniers of the day of Qiyamah, and then takes an oath that definitely Qiyamah is coming, whether anyone believes it or not. The matters of life after death are true and definite. In the surah, the day of Qiyamah is referred to as Yawmut Taghabun, the day of loss. And then Surah Talaq was also recited, and in line with the general temperament of Madani surah, some Shari'i laws have been expounded, especially those laws relating to marital and family life. So most of the forms of divorce, as well as other such laws relating to the iddat, the waiting period for the woman, maintenance and place of residence which follows as a result of divorce, is found in the surah. And in the beginning of the surah, the shari manner of divorce is mentioned. If it becomes difficult to sustain one's marriage and there is no other way out besides divorce, then one should give his wife one talaq-e-rajmi, a revocable divorce, and then leave her. This divorce should be given during the period of purity, when one did not have sexual relations with her. After divorce, she should be left till the end of her iddat, a waiting period. This is called talaq-e-sunni. These conditions and restrictions point to the fact that divorce is an action which is severely disliked by Allah Ta'ala. Then the duration of iddat is also mentioned, the laws regarding their maintenance and expenses, and the laws regarding where they will reside during their iddat have also been mentioned. And while mentioning these last these laws also, the word taqwa is mentioned 4 times. And fear Allah, who is your Rabb, and who fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from his difficulties. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And he who fears Allah will create, Allah will create easiness for him in his matters. And he who fears Allah, Allah will forgive his sins and will grant him a great reward. From here we can judge and see how much importance Allah Ta'ala gives to taqwa, and how different the style of the Quran is from other books. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of inculcating taqwa in our lives. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.